The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
You are listening to the newly rebranded Fire Breslow podcast presented by the Bastards of Boston Baseball. I'm your host, Jason Kelly. I've got Matt and Terry alongside. The winning streak is over. Red Sox lose to the Nationals 8-1 the final, and lots of drama in this one. Wilson Contreras gets ejected for the second game in a row, this time for a just cause. And Connelly Early leaves the game early with elbow tightness. So pretty much bad news all around, not just that the winning streak gets snapped, but some off-the-field stuff that we're going to have to address as well. So let's start with just probably the most exciting part of this entire game, which was the benches clearing brawl early on. Wilson Contreras gets punched out by Cade Cavalli, who, by the way, struck out 13 Red Sox tonight. I don't think he struck out double digits of anyone all season long, but you come to Fenway Park, that's what you get to do. So Cavalli strikes him out. He says something to Contreras. Contreras flips out and bench is clear. Contreras tries to throw his helmet at him. It was a complete mess. So Matt, I'll lead you off. How'd you feel about the brawl? How'd you feel about Contreras getting ejected yet again? And are we starting to see a pattern here with this guy?
Yeah, oddly enough, the last time I was on the pod, we discussed another benches clearing brawl, if you want to call it that, when Contreras was right in the center of that. Look, he's a fiery guy. We've seen it time and time again. I think the initial reaction was justified, right? Cavalli saying what he said sounded like, you know, sit down, boy, is what the consensus is so far. He was dealing, right? He was in a groove. He was out there competing, and we couldn't touch him. But yeah, you know, comes out, punches him out, says something like that. Yeah. Contreras perks up, kind of you talking to me. I think I'm okay with that, but honestly, in that situation, you cannot get thrown out of the game. He lost his cool, threw his helmet. I think even if he just started walking to him, benches cleared, there's an opportunity there to make his statement on the reaction that, hey, those comments aren't cool, and him still not getting ejected from the game. But look, the fact of the matter is we're playing the best baseball that we've been playing all season, five-game winning streak. The offense is not out of the clear, in my opinion, right? The offense is still one of the worst in the league, and you're one of our best hitters, if not our best hitter right now, Contreras. So you get ejected yesterday, and then today, albeit, hey, Cavalli probably shouldn't have said what he said. As a competitor, I totally understand where Contreras is coming from. I probably would have reacted in a similar manner, right? But look, you're a professional, you're a veteran, you've got to keep your cool there and stay in the ball game, especially when it's only 1-0 at that point. You know how you make a statement is you look at him and you say, okay, you shake your head, you go back to the bench, and when you get up again, you put a ball over the monster. That's how you make your statement. You don't throw a tantrum and throw your helmet out there. That doesn't help our team get a chance to win. And then we're stuck with Monasterio the rest of the game, who, you know, I don't think it matters much, but a ball got by him later in the game that Wilson probably gets defensively. So, look, I know he's a hothead. We know what we've got with him now with all the brawls and all the benches clearing that we've seen. One interesting thing before I let you get into it, Terry, was I saw Siegler kind of being the one calming him down towards the end of that brawl, and I thought to myself, well, that's interesting, right? On one hand, is Siegler just this young leader? And I have some thoughts on him. Maybe we'll get to him later in the pod, but is he just a young leader who's there to be able to calm him down and calm down the wily veteran? Or is it that everybody else in the clubhouse is tired of Wilson's antics and Siegler being the newest guy to the roster is the only one, you know, willing to get near him and willing to kind of be his buddy and have his back there? That's one thing that I noticed towards the end of that brawl that had me kind of scratching my head, and maybe both are true, right? Maybe Siegler is a young leader, and that the rest of the team is sick of Wilson's antics. But look, I like the fire. I like him getting the team juiced up, but you cannot get thrown out of the ballgame in that situation. You want to get him back. you take, you know, you go hit the ball hard, your next at bat against him. That's how you get him back there.
I'm starting to think that Wilson Contreras is a big enough meathead to get himself ejected from like inning two of a World Series game. Like, that's the level of emotional stability he seems to have. You know, and Cade Cavalli is a career 4.42 ERA guy. Not a whole lot to brag about. He hasn't been there. He hasn't done that. He hasn't been a horse through, you know, a deep October. You know, the guy's done nothing. And so I don't know where he gets off doing that. But if you're Wilson Contreras and you think you're basically the leader of the Boston Red Sox, you've got to look at it like you've won 8 out of your last 11, including your last 5 in a row. You're desperately trying to get this team back into contention here. I think we were, what, 4 games out of a wild card, something like that. We were 9 games under 500 after being as far as 15 under 500. You know, you got to keep your eye on the prize, and you need to be an effective leader. Tonight, you got yourself tossed from a game that was 1-1. It was on the table. It was a winnable game. And I think the tide turned towards the Nationals after the ejection. So, you know, just bad leadership, bad focus, bad awareness of the moment. And, you know, he needs to get it together. And unfortunately, I don't think there's anybody on this team that can rein him in.
Yeah, it seems like it's his team right now, right? He is the veteran. I think maybe the only guy with more seniority in the lineup would be probably Story, who obviously has been on the IL for quite some time. Look, I know he's been dealing with the issues from his home country, Venezuela, and that the earthquake impacted, you know, a community very close to his. So totally understand that his tensions are riding high. But Jason, you opened with it, right? The first and only guy in Red Sox history to get tossed back-to-back games. Last night was probably unjustified, but it happened. And look, you got to keep your emotions in check. This is the highest level. And yeah, what if this was a super important game and not just a game late in June, right, Terry? I mean, look, I just, at this point, we'll take what we're getting offensively and defensively from the player. But yeah, he's a bit of a loose cannon and you almost don't know what's going on. And I kind of wonder you know, have a little bit of concern of the impact that it has on the younger players, right? Like I said, Siegler was the only guy there calming him down. So maybe the other guys are, I don't know, either tired of it, tired of his antics, or maybe quite frankly, a little afraid, a little scared to get near him, right? I don't know what the case is. Abreu, of course, was consoling him yesterday when he was all fired up after his home run. But look, if you are the leader of the team and you want to be the leader of the team, well, the best way to help your team is by playing inside those lines. You can't do that from the locker room. So it's unfortunate because, yeah, the tide definitely shifted. The momentum, which we had the lead at the time, 1-0, I believe, but the momentum was already in the Nationals' hands. Cavalli was dealing. He was dialed in practically all night. Siegler let off with that double, and that was pretty much it. We didn't get a hit or a base runner, I think, until the eighth inning. So, you know, the offense came crashing back down to earth. This was more of the Red Sox of 2026 that we've seen. And yeah, to your point, Terry, we had a chance though. We were in that ball game despite early going down. I know we'll get in him in a minute, but I like the fire. I don't think Cavalli should have said what he said, but he was in the zone and I don't think he was coming at Contreras personally. I think if he struck out anybody and was just in a groove like that and said something like that, it just happened to be Contreras. And look, you got to keep a cooler head than that, man. We need your offense. We need your bat in the lineup. And I don't know if it would have made any difference the way it unraveled late in the game there. We ended up going down 8-1, I think the final score was. But look, too close there. And yeah, not a Red Sox record that I think you want your name associated with, getting tossed back-to-back games.
I mean, first Red Sox ever to get tossed in consecutive games. Carl Everett played for the Red Sox. So, like, we've employed some real dirtbags in our history. So, you're right. That's not a stat you want to attach to your name. You
know, real quick, Jason, it's funny because that was the first name that came to my mind when I heard on the broadcast that Contreras was the first guy. I just thought Everett was the first one. He was a real jerk that played for us. So,
oh, yeah, he was a mental case. Yeah, and so, look, I think two things can be true here. I think Cavalli, what he said initially, you know that's going to draw a reaction, right? I think something else had to have been said when they went out to the mound and they met, right, when the scrum first happened, because Contreras just went out there just sort of being like, you talking to me? Like, why are you calling me out? Like, I think Contreras was happy to just kind of get in his face a little bit, leave it at that. Something else must have been said because he ripped off his helmet and wanted to go headhunting. So I don't know if we'll find out what was said in that scrum or who said it or what, but either way, you're right about Contreras. Like, this is kind of why I push back on people saying that he's the leader of this team. He is by default because you don't have any other veteran presence right now. Trevor Story's on the shelf. Bregman's gone. You know, it can't be a pitcher because they only play every 5 days. But Wilson Contreras is not a leader. He's just not. He never has been. He wasn't with the Cubs, and he clearly wasn't with the Cardinals. The Cardinals were hoping he could become that. They were hoping that when they signed him, that he would be the veteran presence, that he would help guide the young guys that they had coming up in the system. And he's just not that guy. Yeah, he has a fiery personality, and you know, he can get the team fired up when things are going well. But when things aren't going well, as you saw tonight, he can bring your team down to the absolute depths of hell. Because the Red Sox came into tonight on a 5-game winning streak. And I tweeted out, like, if you get past the Nationals, 10 in a row is on the table. Because you got the Angels this weekend. They stink. Like, you could absolutely sweep them. So this Red Sox team was on a high, like, for the first time this season. Like, that Yankees series really injected some life back into this team. And quite frankly, back into the fan base too. Fenway was rocking this weekend. So they were finally getting people reinvested, and then Contreras has to go and start a brawl like this. And I get it. Like, you know, Cade Cavalli, whatever he said, if he did say something extra in that scrum, look, you know, you have to have your head under a rock to not know what Wilson Contreras and other Venezuelan players are going through right now. Okay. I mean, we all saw the emotion from him on Monday night, right? The Nationals saw that too. So it's not like, you know, they can say, oh, we didn't know. Like, unless you're really completely ignorant, you know what he's going through. So you know that he's, you know, it's easy to trigger him right now. So clearly he said something that got him going, but it's just no excuse at this point. You know, your team is on a winning streak. Like, you've got to compose yourself because, I mean, what, every time a pitcher says something to you now, we got to worry about you charging the mound and, you know, causing a brawl and getting yourself ejected when, you know, you're the best hitter on the team. It's not like you're the number 9 hitter where, okay, we can afford to lose you. So it just gets tiring. Like, again, when things are going really well, Wilson Contreras is a great guy to have on your team because he's the emotional guy and, you know, gets everyone fired up. But as you saw tonight, when things don't go that way, this is where you can see why Wilson Contreras hasn't exactly stayed on many teams for very long, right? He tends to outstay his welcome wherever he goes. So obviously, you know, we'll see what happens with him with the trade deadline coming up, what the Red Sox decide to do there. But yeah, things like this can't keep happening because it's just going to keep hurting the team.
It was funny to watch Chad Tracy go at it with the umpires and, you know, because we haven't had a chance to see that. And you don't really see it much anymore anyway, because now that you have the strike challenge, now that you have instant replay on the bases, I mean, that's been around a little while. But, you know, technology has really eliminated a lot of the arguments. So this was a situation where he had to argue. And the funny thing was Tracy's not imposing at all. He's this scrawny, skinny guy that I can't even describe it. But it's not like, you know, like Aaron Boone gets fired up. Like, Aaron Boone's a guy I wouldn't want to cut off in a Walmart parking lot just because it would be an uncomfortable scene. And, you know, a Mike Socha type guy, you know, he's a big imposing guy. Terry Francona would get fired up. You know, John Farrell as well, actually. John Farrell was a big guy. But just to see Tracy try to do it, I was like, and they were, you know, trying to explain anything, everything. And I don't like the process, by the way. You know, just make your decisions and then talk to the managers. Don't have a trial on camera in front of everybody and turn it into like a 20-minute thing like it was. You know, just they don't owe the managers an explanation before they make their decisions, I don't think. But Tracy was arguing. And if you look at the three ejections, it was the three players that got physical. And I think if Wilson doesn't throw his helmet, he probably stays in. But he threw his helmet. And then you had Nate Eaton and Michaelis, or however you say it, Michaelis. You know, they were playing physical patty cakes at the edge of the brawl. So they got tossed too. And, you know, they were complaining about Cade Cavalli being allowed to stay in, but he didn't get physical. So that, I think that was the difference. And the other thing too is, could there be suspensions now? Do we lose Wilson for another 1 to 3 games?
Yeah, I mean, is there a rule? Is it like a technical foul rule in the NBA, right, where you get ejected for multiple games in a week? You could be facing a suspension. Yeah, Michaelis, it was a weird little tussle there between him and Eaton. Maybe Michaelis was just mad that we got to him for 5 runs yesterday, and he just wanted to get some aggression out himself. But like I said before, I think he probably could have got away with the couple steps to the mound, you talking to me, and yeah, bench is cleared, and he's probably allowed to stay in the game. But certainly when you throw your helmet in the manner in which he did, it wasn't like he slammed it to the ground. He threw it as hard as he could over the pile of people. It looked to me like maybe the catcher said something. I don't even think he was trying to throw his helmet at Cavalli there. It looked like he was trying to throw it at Ruiz, the catcher. But yeah, look, he's sensitive right now for sure. And I think most people would have his back, right? With what he's going through with his community, his culture back home. But at the end of the day, the best way you can help your team is by being out there on the field. And I don't think he helped our team out by getting tossed tonight. So hopefully he doesn't face any suspension, because we still need the bat in the lineup. We still need all the leadership we can get. You know, you can't just make up veteran presence in the locker room there. And he's one of the most senior guys that we have. So whether we like it or not, he's our guy. We need him for right now.
Yeah, I think unfortunately a suspension is probably coming, because I think there's got to be some rule that if you throw any piece of equipment directed at another player, I mean, that's suspension worthy. You can't be doing that. So whether Wilson, you know, meant to hit anyone with it or not, that the intent, you know, like, he still threw his helmet. So I think that's probably an automatic suspension. It might just be a game or two. But as you said, like, Red Sox in a position where every game counts. So now you're not going to have your best hitter in the lineup for potentially another 2 games that you should be winning. I mean, this Nationals team is not bad. You know, they came in over 500. They're in a, you know, competitive league, but this is a team you should be beating. These are, you know, parts of the schedule where, as bad as your season has been, you should be able to make up some ground against teams like Washington and the Angels. And now your own players are getting themselves ejected and, like I said, probably suspended in Contreras's case. So,
you know, yeah, we'll actually, it's a great point. I was just thinking of Bryce Harper when he threw his helmet way back in San Francisco. I Googled it real quick. He received a 4-game suspension, later reduced to 3. But that seems to be the precedent. I mean, we're probably looking at a multi-game suspension on top of his behavior this year, right? The benches, I think the Sox have benches cleared at least 4, maybe 5 times this season, which is a little crazy considering we've been at the bottom of the league most of the season. So, you know, you kind of wonder what we're fighting about all this time, but he's just at the center of it each and every time. And, yeah, I think he's, after looking at this with the Harper incident, we're most likely looking at a suspension, I would say.
He'll be able to appeal it, so I would imagine he'll be in tomorrow's lineup, and perhaps, or actually there might be an off day. think Thursday's an off day, so he'll play tomorrow. Chris Cotillo just tweeted out the Red Sox have designated Tommy Kahnle for assignment, so no shock there.
Yeah, I saw that he was DFA'd, and I guess Alec Gamboa is on his way up, so okay. So they have already made a roster move on the pitching side, and maybe more to come, because the other bad news that came out of this game, Connelly Early leaving the game after four innings with elbow tightness. So obviously he's probably going to have to get some imaging done, and Red Sox might have to scramble to make some roster moves. But yeah, we've lost Connelly early in this game, oddly enough. Again, elbow tightness, not something you want to hear. So we might be looking at an IL stint for Connelly Early. So Matt, how do you feel about if he has to go on the IL, what moves they can possibly make here?
Yeah, so just for starters, I'm bummed. Early has been, I've been a huge fan of him, honestly, since his debut last year versus the A's. How could you not be with the performance? I think he struck out 11 in his major league debut. And he's just always a pleasure to watch out there. Gets into some trouble, but kind of makes it exciting, gets out. And I just always saw him as a quality starting pitcher in this league. So I'm bummed as a fan. But yeah, it left the game, I believe, with left elbow discomfort, is what they said on the broadcast, which is never good. I'm certainly keeping my fingers crossed over here, hoping it's just a precautionary thing and he doesn't miss too much time. I guess we'll await the imaging and we'll wait for confirmation on what the medical imaging says. But yeah, I really hope he's not down for an extended period of time. He's been one of the few bright spots of the season. I mean, certainly him and Toley, right, are kind of bash bros of young starting lefties there. If you were to tell me one of those guys was going to get hurt, I would have told you Toley definitely would get hurt before Early. But I don't know what happened. I mean, he was cruising, got into some jams. There were some base runners, but he added some double plays. I think that last batter he faced was a double play right to get out of the inning. We didn't see much to happen, and then the benches cleared, and then they were talking about it looked like Early was coming out of the game. The guy was warming up in the bullpen. So I really hope he doesn't miss an extended period of time, because – yeah, if he does, right, who replaces him in the rotation? The rotation has been one of the few bright spots on our team. We were in line. I think he was cruising and probably going to get our 13th straight quality start. He went four innings, no runs, some base runners there, but I think he could have got six innings and got that quality start number for you. But I don't know who comes up, right? Does that mean Bayo gets a call back up? I think we already have Jake Bennett up there. Crochet, we don't really know when he's coming back. I would really love an update on when he might come back. If it turns out to be we get Crochet back and then Early goes down for a little bit, then we're kind of back where we started in terms of still have a good five-man rotation. But yeah, at this point, I'm just fingers crossed. I mean, a lot has gone wrong for us this season, so I wouldn't be surprised if everything just continues to go wrong for us. But maybe we're able to dodge a bullet and it doesn't end up being a serious thing. I guess we'll have to wait for the imaging to come back. But doesn't look good. Anytime you leave the game, non-contact, we didn't see what happened. So left elbow discomfort, I know it doesn't sound good. I'm going to keep my fingers crossed. That's the best I can do at this point. But hopefully it's not too long.
It was kind of a surprise. I mean, the inning ended and Red Sox came up and then Danny Coulomb was warming in the pen. So, nothing obvious on the mound. I guess if you want to be an optimist, you can say, well, it did happen between innings and it didn't happen on an ugly pitch. And then he left the mound with a trainer. But every time I try to read the tea leaves, it ends up being a worst case scenario within the next handful of days or weeks. So, but it does. I mean, I would guess it's probably an automatic IL stint, even if it's precautionary, even if the news is encouraging. I don't think they're just going to trot him out there, in a handful of days. You've got options. It looks like Patrick Sandoval is one more start away. Nesson pointed out that he's only been stretched out to 70 pitches. So perhaps in this next rehab start, he'll go beyond that and then be ready, roughly 10 days. Well, Saturday's his next start, so it'd be 5 days after Saturday. But then, of course, you have Brian Bayo, who hasn't pitched terribly, but hasn't really lit it up either. He's made three starts down in Worcester. He's hasn't pitched beyond five innings, and actually in two of those three starts hasn't made it through five full innings. But he hasn't given up more than three earned runs in any of those starts either. So I don't know if you want to make that move, because I feel like if you call Bayo up, you have to leave him up. Like, you have to commit to him, in other words. And I don't know that that's the best thing in our interest or the best thing in his interest, but it's going to be interesting. And I'll say this one last thing before I kick it to Jason. If I had to bet on who would have an elbow issue between Tolley and Early, I would have bet Tolley all day long. The dude throws mostly fastball variants. His velocity is so inconsistent. Some starts it's up, some it's, you know, 2 or 3 miles an hour lower, you know. So Connelly Early just seems pretty disciplined and very consistent. And I mean, his delivery looks okay to me, but yeah, kind of a shocker to see him go through this.
Yeah, and that's the scary part, right? Because there's still a chance that Peyton Tolley could get injured, right? I mean, obviously you hope it doesn't happen, but for both these guys, this is the most, you know, most they've pitched at the big league level in their entire careers. So, you know, those innings are starting to pile up now. Again, we weren't expecting to have these guys in the rotation for the entire season, right? They're supposed to kind of be guys that came up later on, but you've had to lean on them a lot. And because your bullpen hasn't been that great, you've also had to lean on them to go deep into games. So these two have thrown a lot of pitches, more so than I think anyone expected them to, you know, in 2026. So yeah, it's scary because Peyton Tolley, I agree, like with the velocity, with just, you know, the sort of the way he pitches, just coming like, you know, charging out of the gates, throwing 100, you know, the first couple of innings, and then the velocity kind of going down as the game goes on. Like, to me, that's a guy that's going to have a shoulder problem at some point. It's like, he's going to have a weak shoulder or something. So yeah, it could start to get a little ugly here if, you know, with Early's got to go on the IL, which I agree he probably will, if nothing else, just out of precaution, because this guy's part of your future. You don't want to mess around with that. And frankly, your team's out of it. So, you know, this mini winning streak was great and everything, but the reality is you're pretty much still out of it. So, you know, don't force him on the mound when you don't have to. But yeah, you know, Tolley is still a candidate to potentially get hurt. Sonny Gray is probably going to get traded this month, right? So that's another starter you're going to lose. Garrett Crochet, we have no idea how close he is. He might still be quite a ways away. So you're looking at another scenario where it's you know, scrap heap guys that are in your starting rotation. It's Patrick Sandoval. It's, you know, Jake Bennett, I think, is a good, you know, young pitcher for you. I don't think he's scrap heap. But again, another guy that you're having to lean on a lot more than you thought. So yeah, it's going to get to a point where this might start to get really ugly if you start to lose more starters, because that's the strength of your team. That's what has kept you in it, you know? And obviously, you know, your offense isn't going to change much. So yeah, losing Early really hurts, and you're going to lose probably some more pitchers as we go forward here, because, you know, eventually those trades are going to start coming down.
Yeah. It's just always concerning when these guys go get injured, because, you know, they might as well be in witness protection the program when you're on the IL for the Red Sox, right? You mentioned Patrick Sandoval, Terry. I completely forgot that we even signed that guy. So I find comfort that he's getting close to returning, because I'll take anybody over Bayo. But yeah, Patrick Sandoval, completely forgot he was on the roster. And then that made me think of another guy who went down in April, and we haven't heard a thing about it since. Johan Oviedo. Still no idea what happened to that guy. Crochet and Roman Anthony are two maybe most popular names, are two most well-known names, and still vague updates on both of them, right? There was like a weird video of Roman Anthony playing balls off the wall the other day that I saw on Twitter. But again, he still can't swing a bat. Crochet not able to resume throwing activities. So just anytime a guy hits the IL, you never know what you're going to get. They'll tell you it's not a big deal, it's not severe. and then he'll be out for 3 months. So just always concerning anytime you're more than just day to day. So hopefully this imaging comes back negative and Early doesn't miss an extended period of time. But you guys are both right, right? These guys are young arms, and they're really stressing the innings and the pitches that they've thrown. Probably going to be the maximum of their young careers each and every year, right? Moving forward these next couple of years, but we'll have to wait and see.
The other thing that's starting to get concerning here is your back end of the bullpen is not as stout going forward as we thought, because they're going to have to trade Rolas Chapman. They're beyond stupid if they don't. So he's going to get traded. So that would mean what? Garrett Whitlock slides into the closer role, most likely. At least I hope that would be their thinking. So that's fine. Whitlock's had a good year. Not his best, but still pretty good. Who the hell is your eighth inning guy? Because I don't think it's Justin Slayton anymore. That guy looks like he's gone completely backwards.
Probably Guerrero. I mean, Guerrero might be the best guy in there at the moment.
And that's kind of a scary thought because he's, what, 35? And, you know, he's just now kind of getting into his own. So, I mean, we might be reaching a point here where obviously this would be an off-season problem, but now you have to retool the back end of your bullpen. You've got to get setup guys, and you've got to hope that Garrett Whitlock, when he's the full-time closer, if that's the route they choose to go, that he can hack it. So, you know, your rotation is going to take a hit, and now your bullpen looks like it's going to take a hit because I don't know what's going on with Slayton, but he just looks like he has no clue what he's doing up there. So we could be bad in three areas pretty soon after after the trade deadline if things keep going this way.
Yeah, Slayton's just up there tossing meatballs lately, getting lit up like a Christmas tree. It's been tough when he gets out on the mound. I think I agree. Guerrero is probably our best guy to depend next to Chapman at this time, but Whitlock probably makes more sense starting off as the closer. You know, it's going to be a slippery slope if and when they move Chapman, because to your point, the back end of the bullpen already been struggling a little bit. Even when Chapman was in there, he's blown a few saves himself lately. So what it's already been a terrible, tough, painful season of baseball that we've been stuck watching, that's only going to get worse when we lose a guy like Chapman. And then the back end of the bullpen just is what we saw tonight, right? We're going to see a lot of games like tonight where maybe it's close and then you just hit some guys in the bullpen and they're going to put up a touchdown on you late in the game. So, yeah, not going to be a fun day if and when they move Chapman for that reason. But, yeah, guys are just going to have to step up. The bullpen looking pretty light right now. Weissert gave you a pretty valiant effort there, did his best out of the pen. But man, just a lot of arms down on the injured list. And this is where you need depth. This is where depth helps you out. And unfortunately, the bullpen depth was never really a strength of ours on this 2026 Red Sox team.
Well, yeah, no, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, different players are going in different directions. You know, Caleb Durbin is the best hitter on the team in the last few weeks after going to that clinic. So we'll see what happens there. But then you have Rafaela starting to go the wrong way. He's still hitting at an okay clip, but he's drawn 3 walks in the last month, and his on base in the last month is 298. So he might only be a first half of the year player. I mean, that's the pattern. So maybe they'll figure something out and he'll heat up, but I don't know. I don't know where the offense is going to come from. I mean, I haven't pulled up Abreu yet, but I mean, he's, I think, probably going the wrong way. Let's see how he's doing in the last month.
I think he's fluttering around 270 right now with a, you know, mid sevens OPS, but just kind of been streaky. Sedan, like you said, also streaky player. We saw him lights out for about 6 week stretch last year. Maybe this year is the same thing, floundering a little bit. It's been tough. I want to give a quick shout out here to Anthony Siegler, because when you mentioned guys are taking different directions on the team, I don't know. I know it's early, but he actually seems to look like a pretty decent ball player. His at-bats, he seems comfortable at the plate, not overmatched, balanced, taking good balanced swings, making good contact. And when you say guys taking different directions, it just made me think I'm sitting up there watching him take these at bats. I think he has an 8-game hitting streak, actually. And just saying, man, this guy looks nothing like what Mayer looks like when Mayer's up there at the plate, looking like a guy who's struggling and overmatched and a guy that can't hit. When Seager's up there, he actually looks like a big league guy, looks comfortable up there, looks like he's ready to hit whatever. I think he had that leadoff double down the line, which I didn't realize Cavalli was bringing 99 and 100 when we came into this game tonight. So I was a little surprised to see the stuff in which he was coming at the Sox with. But, you know, this lineup continues to struggle against, any big league pitching, but in particular velocity. And, I don't know. Outside of Contreras, I don't know who the true legitimate big league hitters are. Duran certainly continues to struggle. Rafaela, known to be a streaky hitter over his career. Abreu the same. And then the rest are, you know, 4A guys, call it, at best. And that's putting it nicely for most of those guys. Although Durbin, to your point, is somehow our best hitter right now. He's raking right now. So we'll give you a quick little flowers there, Caleb.
And Abreu is hitting .232 in the last month, and he is .300 for his last 24. So trending towards ice cold.
Yeah, the problem with having that kind of weekend they had against the Yankees with this lineup is that works for one weekend. It's not going to work going forward. It's not sustainable. As Matt mentioned, most of this lineup is 4A players. It's really just Contreras, Abreu, Duran when he's on. Those are big league hitters. But I like Siegler too, but Water's going to find its level, right? There's going to be a regression to the mean. You know, pitchers are going to figure him out. You know, Chang is not a big league hitter. You still don't have any catcher who can hit on this team. So that's a complete black hole in your lineup. So look, it was fun for that weekend, but again, it's this idea of the punchy Red Sox are going to make a comeback. It's not realistic. These guys, again, there's going to be a regression to the mean, and you know your offense just going to go back in the tank. You know, once that happens, so it's unfortunate, but I agree. I don't see where the offense is going to come from.
Yeah, ironically, Terry, we were sitting here on Friday night talking about this, and I asked the question, do you think the Sox can win 10 in a row? And your immediate answer was no. I was rooting for a win tonight just so we could come on and kind of flirt with that 10-gamer. To your point, Jason, there, if we get past the Nationals, then we've got the Angels, and 10 in a row is definitely within reach. And my comment was I can definitely see the Sox rotation spitting off 10 or 12 quality starts in a row, not realizing they would already done, I think, 6 or 7 in a row at that time. But the offense just can't keep pace. And it's always nice to sweep the Yankees, no matter the time of the year, no matter the standings. But I really did think we were generating a little bit of momentum there, not necessarily buying into the comeback kids or that we were actually going to make a playoff push, but they were actually giving you some good baseball to watch for once, right? Exciting comeback win on Sunday night versus the Yankees. Again, we were still like 11 below 500 at that time, or 10 below, whatever it was. But, you know, giving you some exciting baseball, a reason to watch. The quality start streak, they had a good streak of 9 straight Ks from the starting pitchers. So, you know, at this point, I'm just trying to find the silver linings, you know, things to look forward to when we're watching. And it seems like every time we watch, they take something like that away, right? Early was one of those bright spots that I enjoyed watching pitch. And now he looks like he's going down for at least a little bit of time. But, man, it's just a streaky team, and we'll see if they can get back on it tomorrow. But the Nationals have been a fun matchup. I was actually looking forward to this matchup because they're sort of the polar opposite of the Red Sox. We have really strong pitching but really weak offense. They're the complete opposite. They have a strong offense. I think they have the most runs scored in the league, if not the National League, and terrible pitching. They've got the most blown saves in the league. So, you know, for a while there, I thought maybe this could be the team we come back with. But Cavalli gave you 7 strong, 13 Ks. And then by the time the bullpen even came in the game, it was a 5 or 6 run game at that point. So interesting kind of gelling of the team. We still have a chance to win the series tomorrow, but man, just continue to struggle, and not a lot of bright spots here, especially offensively.
Guess what year Anthony Seager was drafted?
2018.
Yeah, 2018. Yeah. And guess what round he was drafted?
Oh, geez. Well, he was a first round pick.
He was a first rounder. I don't know if he ended back in the draft, but one of his drafts was a first round.
That was it. One and done. The Yankees took him first round, 23rd overall. And then he proceeded to spend the next 8 years in the minors. The Brewers gave him a shot last year. How did he do with the Brewers? He hit 194 with a 292 on base, 210 slugging, OPS plus of 43. Yeah, I'm cherry picking the ugly stats, but it's not good. So
he's always got to bring us down to earth, Jason. How we start saying we like the player, and Terry brings us right back down.
I think the water is going to find the sewage drain, and then wherever that lands might be, I don't know. It'll be fun to watch, but it's just, you know, every player we call up seems to have a brief honeymoon. You know, we saw it with Gasper. We've seen it with Eric Sogard at times, or what's his name? Nick Sogard. Same family. You know, so it's just, yeah. And I'd never even heard of that. I don't know what he is. The Asian guy playing shortstop. Okay. Who's very good defensively, but I'm just not familiar with him. But yeah, it's just, you know, we don't even know who these players are on almost a daily basis.
Yeah, there's just, you know, an ode to the season we're having, right? I've never heard of Chang either, but Story goes down. Maybe we saw that coming, but also IKF and Mayer, you know, it's tough when we're on our fourth string shortstop here right now. It's funny, Seager drafted in 2018. I had to check his age there. I didn't realize he was 27 years old already. Same age as Juan Soto. So a guy who won a World Series almost a decade ago, and Seager born same year, but two completely different career trajectories, of course. I was actually thinking about Soto a little bit tonight briefly, just because we were playing the Nationals and the haul they got back from him with Wood and Abrams. We're getting our plenty dose of those two going yard in each of those first two games. The Nationals, although struggling and rebuilding, just a shout out to them. They did it right. They got a good haul back from Soto, and I think Gore they flipped to Texas for another piece. So, you know, two guys right now who I think both of them have more homers than Soto at this time. But yeah, quick shout out to the Nationals GM. I can't think of his name off the top of my head, but great move there.
They also got the only executive from our front office that wasn't a clown.
That's the real kicker. Yeah, they got Taboni pulling the strings over there now. Yeah. Damn. Well, 10 in a row might be off the table, but 9 of 10 still on the table. But they got to win tomorrow. So tomorrow we got the series finale against the Nationals. 1:35 start. Peyton Tolley for the Red Sox going up against Andrew Alvarez for the Nationals. So, Matt, how do you see that one going tomorrow?
This is a tough day game, I believe, tomorrow, right? Tolley's been pitching well. I just think that the Nationals offense is too strong. They've actually mentioned a few times this series already how good they are against left-handed pitching. I think they're one of the better, if not best, teams against left-handed pitching. And this will be our third lefty that we toss against them in a row, I believe. So, I think the Nationals bats stay hot tomorrow. I don't really see us. I don't know much about this Alvarez guy. Obviously, I want to see a Red Sox win, but I think Tolley probably pitches okay, but probably has one of those starts where maybe gets in trouble in like the fourth or fifth inning, ends up only giving up like two or three runs, but I think he leaves in a jam. We have to end up having to get to the bullpen early. And this is a young Nationals team, young firepower. We got an early game after a night game. I'll take the young road team Nationals. That they took the momentum tonight, and I don't really have many reasons to pick the Sox despite coming off that 5-game streak here. I'll go Nationals tomorrow.
Well, I'm not going to pretend that I've ever heard of Andrew Alvarez. Last three games, he has not pitched more than 4 1/3 innings. He also hasn't given up more than two earned runs. Doesn't seem to punch out a ton of guys. So I don't know. I mean, you're going to have Durbin Contreras, presumably. And then, I mean, Abreu hits lefties pretty well, better than righties this year, out of nowhere. But he is 3 for his last 24. So I don't know. I mean, where's the offense going to come from? But like I think you pointed out in the war room, Matt, if this guy can't go deep, where's their bullpen going to come from? Because they're not very good. It's very close. It's close. I guess I'll give it to the Nationals.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with the Nationals in this one as well. I wonder if Contreras is going to sit tomorrow. I know they need the game. They need his offense. But I wonder if they're just like, you need to take a chill pill, dude. Like, they've got the off day on Thursday. They're heading out to the West Coast. He's probably got a suspension hearing, you know, looming. I just wonder if Tracy's like, you know what? You need to sit because you're not in a state to be playing baseball right now. And look, we can all understand why, but yeah, I just wonder if they're going to do something like that. So that's a big bat that might be out of your lineup. I could be wrong. He could be right back in there tomorrow, but I don't know. It just wouldn't surprise me. Seems like a Tracy kind of move, you know.
It's just, I don't disagree with you. It's just such a weak lineup. You know, I'm thinking of that lineup on paper, the same lineup we saw tonight. But if you see that in your starting lineup, it's just, man, you might as well give it to the Nationals. But like I said before, complete opposite team here, right? Good pitching versus good offense. And we'll get to see what's going to be better tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just think that Nationals offense, they do hit lefties very well. So I think they'll eventually get to Toley. And, you know, that'll be it. So, and even though the Nationals pitching is god awful, I don't trust this offense to mount any sort of rally against them. So, yeah, unfortunately, I got the Nationals winning tomorrow, too. But hopefully we're wrong. We'll see.
Siegler gets a hit tomorrow, though, Terry. 9-game hitting streak for Siegler. And we'll get to enjoy that at least.
We'll give him a bobblehead night.
Retire his jersey.
Might as well at this point. Yeah. So with that, we're going to call it a night. So everyone enjoy the rest of your night. We'll be back on the air Thursday. So keep an eye out for that. And yeah, hopefully Red Sox can salvage the series, but we'll see what happens tomorrow.